The first reading is from Mark 1, verses 4 through 11. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around the waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, beloved. With you I am well pleased."
The second reading is from Genesis, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
Please join me in my opening prayer. God above, below, and within us, we worship you this morning with open hearts and seeking to be made anew. Let us be blessed today by your word and the meditations of my heart. Amen. Oh, welcome, friends. This is the first Sunday of the new year, and for many, it is a time of new beginnings, a chance to start something new, or maybe to put down the things that we have been holding on to. For many, it is an opportunity for growth and change, while for others, it's your average Sunday. If this year you are feeling any of these things, or maybe something else, I invite you to bring whatever you are feeling today and enter into this space where you may lay down your worries at least for a little while. This past year has brought its many ups and downs, and I have seen a number of people post on Facebook and Instagram and other social medias that this has been the best year of their life, which is amazing. But I've also seen other people post that this year has really not been that at all. And honestly, it's kind of not surprising in a lot of ways. This is the first year where many of us have been able to freely leave our homes without too much fear of being masked. And for many, it's given them the opportunity to pursue their passions or other projects. And then for others, it was first year where, or for others, it was more like a cold dose of reality. For whatever kind of year that you had, we hold all those experiences in love. The celebrations, the grief, the joy, the anger, the hope. For all these things have led us to this moment where we sit here, still breathing, still learning, and still growing. As another year has gone by and our lives have once again changed, I remember that it isn't just the good events that have made our years important. When we look back at the most memorable and life-changing moments, they are not always filled with joy. But what happens afterward matters just as much. The communities that we are a part of and the communities that we are a part of and the supports that we have help us carry the burden and remind us that we are more than the things that happen to us. We are more than the things that happen to us. And our supports are those that help us recognize how incredible our achievements actually are, how wonderful the fruits of our labor and how the talents we possess can change the world. We look today at our scripture from Genesis, where we read about the beginnings of the universe, where it was formless and empty and dark, where the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters and was a witness to the slow transformation of the world. One change at a time, bringing a newness to reality and forever changing us, showing us the beauty that comes not only from the waters, but also from the ground, the dark and the light, the heavens and the world, and everything in between. In God's creative formation of the world, we were also crafted to be wonders among all of creation, to be sent out as caretakers and active participants in the continued activity of creation, to be the support of the world in its time of need, while also uplifting its wonders and growth. On the first day of the new year, I visited the beach with my fiance, Alex. We don't really go very often, as not as much as we would like to, but this day felt particularly important to go, and we were not alone in thinking that either. For us, the ocean is a place of healing and renewal. And it felt appropriate to visit as we acknowledged a new beginning. While we waded in the water, and the waves came and went, I thought about how each wave is just different enough that each requires its own reaction so that I wouldn't be completely pummeled into the sand. Some waves are a bit forceful and demand respect as they pummeled into me, while others felt almost playful as they gently slapped me in the face. Our lives can sometimes feel like waves coming and going. New people or events or changes come into our lives, and we have to adapt as each one takes its course. Sometimes we can take the brunt of the wave no problem, or sometimes we get our timing just right and we can ride that wave all the way out to shore and get ready for the next one. But just as it's true with life, the water isn't always manageable, and we find ourselves in over our heads. Our own reactions and feelings might feel like waves that overwhelm us as well. I recently watched this video of this father talking to his seven-year-old around bedtime. It's the time where they have conversations and they connect with one another. And after some coaxing, she seemed something was off about her. And so he was trying to figure out what's wrong. And so after some coaxing, he realized that she was having an issue in her friend group. A new girl had started to hang out with them more, and she was wonderful, but she had concerns. So he was like, what's going on? He found out that she wasn't sure that there was enough friendship in their group to also include this girl, as if there was a limit on how much friendship they could have. So he sat with her, and they figured it out. He asked if she felt like her mom or her dad would love her less because her younger sisters were born. And at the time, she thought yes. So he said, okay, well, is that true? No. All right. So he explained that love is not something that runs out. She wasn't quite getting it, so he had to think of another image. So he thought of the perfect one. It's like having a pizza with infinite slices. Now she's on board. So after that conversation, he was pondering more about his seven-year-old and if she thought that maybe her other emotions have limits too. If she thought her friendship had limits, then maybe her anger or her hope or her sadness also had to have limits. And he reflected on how when you're a kid, you're always told that your feelings are too much. And so you learn to just feel them a little and then get over them. No time to feel sad, no time to be this angry. You have to move on. And when we tell our children that they need to move on, feel it right now and then move on, we might also be telling them that there's not enough space for them to feel, that what they're feeling is too much, and that therefore they are too much, and that there is not enough space for them. And that is just not true. Especially as we reflect on this new year and our relationship with God, we are never too much for God. Whatever we have, God can handle. When we are out in the world, it's not that we are too much for the world, but there are just some places that cannot handle all of us. All your feelings and frustrations are important and should be felt to the full extent that you need to feel them. When we come to church, we are reminded of this through our sacraments, communion and baptism. At the communion table, all are welcome. In Jesus' ministry, he did not limit those welcome at his table. He welcomed the least of them, the prostitutes, the orphans, the widows. All are welcome. In baptism, it's not just the good and beautiful parts of us that are blessed, but our whole selves. Baptism is an opportunity for us to come as we are and be renewed, to leave behind our old selves or the part of us that no longer serves us, and commit ourselves to a life with God and God's community. In Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11, we read about John the Baptist and Jesus' baptism with the approval of God to his dedication and repentance for sins and wrongdoings. God expresses pride in having a child who would commit his life to doing good works in the world with God. And we are offered the same opportunity. In Christian faith, even in our own communities, we find ourselves at church for many different reasons, with many different theologies. And truly, it doesn't really matter how you've come, but it does matter that you are here and that you are welcome. In choosing to be baptized or baptizing our babies, we are making a conscious step towards raising each other up in the community of Christ. The sacrament offers us the opportunity to a fresh beginning, to be born again and renewed in our journey with God, to take another step with our community and with our relationship with God, and to say yes to a life of service, yes to living as Christ has shown us to live, to accept the blessing of entering a community that lives according to the example of Christ. To be baptized is also an opportunity for our supports to also say yes, to say we see you, we love you, and we are committed to helping you live a life committed to God. This morning, I invite you to reflect. If you are someone that has been baptized, think of that time in which you were baptized. What did it mean to you then? And what does it mean to you now? How has your relationship with God changed since then? For those of you that have not been baptized, what sort of blessings do you already receive from your community? How would baptism change your relationship? How would it change your life? And what would it mean for you to be baptized? For anyone, baptized or not, how has this last year changed you? How have you changed the world? Following this sermon, you will have the opportunity to have a moment of meditation, a moment of prayer. You may reflect on these questions or anything else. Those of you that are online, you are also free to share any of your answers to those questions or other thoughts in the chat. If you are here in the sanctuary, you are invited to come forward to the table. Here I have some shells gathered from the beach that were given to me on my ordination. There is a small cup of water for you to touch, to feel of the water. And there are also some paper cranes for you to hold These have been folded by our youth, and we often use them at the beginning of our own Sunday worship. If you feel comfortable to come forward to the table, you're welcome to grab a shell or a paper crane or touch the water and be present, be in prayer. And once you are finished, please place it back onto the table and you may return to your seats. Before we do that, I want to leave you with a few more thoughts. No matter what this past year has brought you, or the waves that you have faced, or the feelings and changes you have handled, the differences you make in the world, know that you are a blessing, and the love God feels for you is like a pizza with infinite slices. Amen.